Welcome back to the Cambridge Chronicle podcast. I'm your host, Ben Hemmer, and as always, we're joined by JJP, Jaden Park, and my partner in crime. And we're excited to be back with you guys today. And so, Jaden, first off, how was your weekend? What did you do?
I've been pretty good. I watched the Lakers opening week of the playoffs. You know, my aunt got here with her dogs. My aunt and uncle came, but they just left. I'm pretty sure today they had a fight to catch. But they'll be
Where
back.
They headed to?
I think they're going to North Carolina.
Speaking of Wesley from North Carolina, shout out Wesley.
I think they're going to North Carolina to see some family down there or something. I don't know. They're flying out today. That's all I know.
Nice. Yeah, I was able to get some new shoes. Obviously, we saw them on me. They fit well. I like them. And saw the movie Good Will Hunting. I don't know if you've ever seen that with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
I've heard of it.
You should watch it. It's a very good movie, and I would recommend it to a lot of people. And, did that, and just kind of chilled, honestly, you know, at home. And so first subject we got to talk about is the Iowa men's basketball team, right? They had two transfers over the weekend, one on Friday and one on Saturday. The one on Saturday, Tyreek Coleman from Illinois State. He's a point guard, and let me pull up his stats here. He averaged 10 points a game, 2.7 rebounds, 1.8 assists, 1.8 assists, and 50.4% field goal percentage. So pretty good. He feels a need for Bennett Sturts, right? Now that he'll be Tyreek Coleman will be the starting guard for Iowa. And, you know, obviously he had a very successful freshman season. And it fills a need for Iowa, right? Obviously, Bennett Sturts leaving to go to the NBA. Iowa needs a point guard, and now you have a good 1-2 option, right, with him and Cale Combs, right? If one were to not play well, you have the other one that can step in, right? And I like the move by Iowa to get him. That's what Iowa needs, right? Ben McCollum said this offseason he wanted to go after a guard, right? A guard in the portal, and he got one. And then on Saturday, I was able to land a 7-3 center, Andrew McKeever, which is much needed, right? Iowa did not have any size last year. Their tallest guy was Fulgaris, who was 6'10", right? But you need 7-foot guys. That's why, you know why Illinois beat Iowa? Because they had 7-foot guys. They had guys that were just, they were bigger and they were stronger, right? And for Iowa to land Andrew McKeever is huge for Iowa fans, right? And huge for Iowa men's basketball, because last year they didn't have any size. They had to play Manuel at center, who was 6'9". Now Manuel, with McKeever coming to Iowa, 7'3", can slide right to the four. He doesn't have to play center anymore. He can play the four. And man, Iowa fans are gonna, I'm gonna be excited for the very first game when I hear Andrew McKeever's name being called, man. You know, 7'3" guy. Yeah, and it doesn't feel real that we got a big guy like that, because that's what we needed, right? And I think Iowa going to Elite Eight helped a lot. I think it helps them get a lot of great recruits. And hopefully that we can add some more guys in the portal, right? Obviously, Tate Sage is going to be back. Cam Manuel will be back. Cale Combs. Hopefully, crossing our fingers, that Tavion Banks can come back. I don't think he will. But I don't think they'll grant him another year of eligibility. But you never know. I've seen crazier things happen. But if Tavion Banks can come back, that'd be huge. And he's already entered the portal. I don't think he'll enter the portal. I think he'll either get, I don't think he'll get drafted. But I think he might just go undrafted and sign with the team. And it's much needed for Iowa, right? Ben McCollum said that they needed to add size, and they got their size, right? They got an explosive guard for the point guard who's going to slide right in, and now they got the 7-3 guy that's going to slide right into the center position. So overall, I love the move by Iowa. Ben McCollum said that they needed to get bigger, they needed to get some size, and they did that, right? They got size, right? And I'm really excited that they got that guy.
Was he a starter? What was it?
Yeah, he was at St. Mary's. I can look up his stats here.
You said St. Mary's?
Yeah, they made the tournament. So let me check his stats here. So his stats for St. Mary's last year, he averaged 8.2 points, 9.2 rebounds, 1.8 assists, and field goal percentage 50. So not bad, but also not good. But when you have guys like Manuel, and you have now Tyreek Coleman, and you have Tate Sage, you don't have to score a lot, right? And Iowa, not only can he score, But he can bring you a shot blocking presence, right? He can go up and put his hands up really high and he can block shots, right? I don't think he's going to be a big time scorer at Iowa, but I think what he's going to be is he's going to help Iowa tremendously at the five, right? He's going to help them, you know, at the size, right? And now for Iowa, they're going to need to get a backup center, right? Even I know they have Trevin Yerick, but he needs time to develop. I think he should have redshirted. Obviously, they still have Peyton McCollum. They have Tate Sage, Cam Manuel, Cal Combs, Cooper Koch, obviously. So it'll be interesting to see what their starting lineup will be. If it will be Combs and Coleman, if it will be Koch, Manuel, it'll be interesting to see, you know, who starts, you know, with the Andrew McKeever now coming in. And it's a good time to be an Iowa basketball fan, for sure. It's a great time. Obviously, with the Elite Eight run that we just had, beating Nebraska, our biggest rival, and it feels good, right? It feels good to know that Iowa's getting good players in the portal, that they're getting guys that are going to help their team. And first game next year, I can't wait to see Andrew McKeever and Tyreek Coleman come out there and be throwing lobs to each other, man. It's going to be really fun. And you know, coming here on Friday, Jaden, Iowa didn't have any portal commits; they had zero. And then now sitting here on Monday, they have two. And they're two of them are needs, guys that Iowa went out and recruited hard, right? And I was worried at first. I was like, all right, is Ben going to land these guys? Is Ben going to land, you know, these guys that are going to help our team? But he was able to do that, right? And I love what they've done. And just looking forward to another season of Iowa basketball and their coach, Ben McCollum. And, yeah, so second of all, Kansas basketball today landed a transfer. What is his name? I have his name pulled up here. It is Leroy Blyden Jr. That's his name. He's from Toledo. He was a freshman last year. In his freshman season, he averaged, 16.4 points, 0.3 blocks, 4.5 assists, 4.0 rebounds. And his free throw percentage is 84.6. And his three-point percentage is 40.7. So a much needed get for Kansas. Now, you know, now they
was he like the star player for the team?
Yeah, I would assume so. I mean, no offense to Toledo, but I don't think anybody else is doing that. If they would have, then people would have heard of them. But now he joins Keanu Dawes as Kansas's two transfers, and hopefully that this means that we can get Tyron Stokes. I really do hope that we can get him, because Tyron Stokes is going to make our team better, right? He's going to help us win a lot of games, and I hope that...
And he's friends with Taylen Kinney.
Yeah, so let's hope that...
Isn't that like where he's projected to go right now, Kansas?
It's either that or Kentucky. You know,
I don't think Kentucky's a good option.
They're falling off. Ever since Kyle Perry left, they've fallen off, man. Big time, right?
When they got first rounded by that... By Oakland or whatever, the dude that hit like 10
threes.
That
was with Calipari.
Yeah.
But why that was is because they weren't experienced.
Yeah.
All their guys on their team were freshmen. Not everybody, but most of their team was. Whereas Kansas, their guys are more experienced. They've been playing.
Or they get like a mix.
Yeah. That's why, you know why Duke didn't win the title this year? Because their whole entire starting lineup were underclassmen. Right? You win games in college basketball with experience. Look at Michigan. Their whole entire starting five was transfer guys, right? And that's how you win, no matter where they're playing, no matter if it's D2, no matter if it's NAIA, no matter if it's JUCO. If they have experience playing, they have experience. I'd much rather take a JUCO guy than a five-star freshman. No offense to the five-star freshman, but I would just take a JUCO guy any day of the week because he has more experience, right? And I like the move by Kansas, right? And he slides right in to the point guard spot. Obviously, you know, if Darren can come back, this lineup is, oof. The Kansas is going to be so loaded next year. If Darren comes back, this will be a starting lineup. Will be Darren, hopefully I don't know if Darren want to play with Tyron Stokes and Taylen Kinney. I don't see that happening. Or if they don't land Tyron Stokes, I could see it being Darren, Leroy Blyden, Keanu Dawes, Cor Rosario and Taylen Kinney. I think that'd be the lineup next year. But yeah, man, it's good times for Kansas basketball, right? Like, Jaden, what did I tell you? For Kansas, what are they going to be their three keys to succeed next year? They're going to have to get experience transfers in the portal. They're going to have to get a GM, and they're going to have to land Tyron Stokes. They've done that. They've landed two transfers now. We need to keep it coming. We need to get guys that are experienced, right? And this guy's going to fit right into our system, right? He 16.4 points, 4.0 rebounds, 4.5 assists, and his field goal percentage is just 46.1. So let's hope that Kansas can put the pieces together and win the national championship. And Love the move by Kansas, what they did in the portal, and just really, really excited for what happened for Kansas. You know, I think it's obviously a tremendous move, and I think he'll fit right in with what Kansas wants to do, right? And if they can win a Tyron Stokes, man, that'd seal the deal, right? That's a cherry on top for Kansas, right? And so we're doing well right now, right? We got to get we got to land Tyron. That's our goal, especially with Taylor Kinney being here and being your best friend. Tyron, come be a Jayhawk. There's no place like Kansas. If you want to win a national championship, you come to Kansas, right? And
I mean, if he wants the stats, he'll go to Kentucky. But I mean, if you want to be a part of the winning environment,
if you actually want to win a ring in college, especially with Taylor being here and Cole Rosario, come to Kansas. And plus, he has connections with Darren too. Darren actually went to Prolific Prep in Napa, California. They relocated to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. But yeah, man, it's good time for Kansas basketball, and it's certainly Iowa basketball, you know, landing some good transfers that are going to help their team. And I want to see them play next year because I want to see, you know, all those guys. But Bryson Tiller, man, why would you transfer to the enemy? He transferred to Missouri, right? Why would you transfer to the enemy? I just don't get it, right? And it just doesn't really make any sense to me. But, hey, as long as you beat them next year by 40 and we beat Missouri, that's all I care about. I can care less about how Bryson Tiller plays next year. I really couldn't care how he plays. As long as Kansas wins, I really don't care. But
didn't Florida Badunga go to, like, Louisville?
They brought a package in. Yeah. Him and Jackson Shellstead. Jaden, watch him fall off next year. I mean, just watch him, right? He should have stayed. When Florida Badunga committed to Kansas, I was so excited, man. I was like, this is going to be our next great rim protector, our next great scorer. And he just never really – he worked out. He just never really, like, was that dominant. He showed signs of him being good a couple games. But, I mean, man, Kansas would have – if Flory would have came back and Tiller would have came back, Kansas would have been loaded this past year. We would have had Tiller, Flory, and possibly Tyron and Taylor Kinney. Man, that team would have been stacked, right? And – So, yeah, man, it's great times by Iowa basketball and Kansas basketball. Obviously, Iowa landed Andrew McKeever. Great move. I love the fit at Iowa. And especially because he plays slow pace game, and that's what Ben McCollum likes to run. I think it's a tremendous fit for Iowa, what they want to do. And Iowa fans should be happy about this. And I, as an Iowa fan, I am too. And I'm extremely excited about it, right? And going on, the Cubs swept the Mets the other night. Won three in a row. Starting pitching,
they swept the Mets. The Mets are them. Oh my
they're
God.
Bad, bro. They're gonna probably fire their manager. Dude. But like, it's not his fault at the end of the day. Like, I mean, when Juan Soto was hurt, what are you supposed to do? Like, I mean, it's tough, but great win by the Cubs, right? And you know, at the very beginning of the year when they lost to the Nationals, everybody thought, myself included, thought, oh, this season's over. How do you lose to the Nationals? Nationals are one of the worst teams. No, but for the Cubs to come back and to win these games and to sweep the Mets, it just shows you how good of a team they are, right? And I'm just so proud of them, right? Starting pitching has been doing well. Tyone pitched okay yesterday. Edward Cabrera pitched fine, but the long balls were there. You know, PCA, he's still been struggling, right? But when you have guys like Nico Horner and Ian Happ and Bregman and Bush, it's easy to forget about the PCA stuff. Obviously, Cubs fans aren't going to forget the PCA still in a slump. But when you have other guys like Nico Horner and you have, you know, Michael Bush and Ian Happ and Saya and Dansby and, you know, all those guys and Matt Shaw certainly too, and it helps you a lot. And, man, Cubs play tonight at 6:40 against the Phillies at home, and hopefully that they can continue to get wins because that's what they need, right? This division is so tight. Cubs have, let me see how many wins they have here.
They play the Phillies. The Phillies are underwhelming too, bro.
I know. So the Cubs are 12-9 in their fourth place in that division. That's how tight that division is. The Reds are 14-8, first place.
The Reds?
The Cardinals are 13-8, 0.5 games back. The Pirates are 13-9. The Cubs are 12-9, and the Brewers are 12-9. This division is like so close, man. It's just, it is, right? And
almost like none of those teams are supposed to be good.
No. They're not, but that just shows you how tight of a division it is, right? And we need Shota. I don't know if Shota Maga's pitching tonight, but let's hope that he is, and let's hope that he continues to do well, right? Because like I said, when your best pitcher goes down, when Cade Horton's not playing, you're going to have to rely on Shota to do the work for you, right? You're going to have to rely on starting pitching to do well, right? Obviously, when your ace goes down, you're going to have to rely on those guys to do well, right? And so, yeah, man, the Cubs are – let's keep it going. That's three in a row. We just swept them. Let's do it again today against the Phillies. Let's keep it going. And I'm really happy the way the Cubs are going. And Ian Happ is homering. Nico Horner's on fire right now. Hottest hit player in baseball, you know, in terms of hitting-wise. Just keeps it going, right? And Tyone is pitching solid. Edward Cabrera is pitching solid. Shota's pitching well. And Pavencia went on the IL, injured list for 15 days, and that's the Cubs' closer. If the Cubs get in a close game like this against the Phillies, they're not. Who are you gonna call on to bring in to get the save? Is it Ben Brown? Is it Caleb Thielbar? Is it Hunter Harvey? Is it Jacob Webb? Like I don't trust that, you know. And the Cubs are gonna be without Pavencia for 15 days, probably even more. So, you know, it's gonna be interesting to see if the Cubs are, you know, up 1-0, up 2-0, up 3-0, you know, in the ninth inning, and you know, one of those guys, like I just mentioned, comes in. I don't know if the Cubs are gonna get a save, right? And you're gonna have to, right? You know, you're gonna have to, with Pavencia out, you're gonna have to get these saves, and you know, just gonna have to keep doing it, right? Keep scoring runs, keep dominating teams, because you know why? If you keep dominating teams, then you won't have to have somebody come out and save the game, right? You'll be up by so many runs, you won't even think about that, right?
How's Bregman doing?
He's doing fine. You know, he's not homering like he once was, but he's still driving in runners, right? He's getting sack flies, he's doing all this stuff, and he's doing well as a third baseman too, which I think is really good. Obviously, you know, what Nico Horner is doing, and Ian Happ, and Seiya, and you know, certainly Michael Bush, it kind of just takes away from what PCA is doing. But PCA is doing a great job, right? You know, I think teams have kind of figured him out a little bit. I think he struggles against left-handed pitchers, and I think you see a lot more pitchers strike him out because he struggles against them, right? And Moises Ballesteros, that man is doing so good right now. That dude is on a fire. Obviously played at the Iowa Cubs last year. Moises Ballesteros is doing a tremendous job, right? As a DH, he's looking like to be the future of the Chicago Cubs, right? And just doing a tremendous job and getting hits, getting home runs, and you know, Moises is doing his job, right? And let's keep it going, Cubs. Let's keep it going, right? I think the key for the Cubs to win is just get up by a lot of runs, right? And then that way that you won't have to get a save, right? You can just put in a guy like Thielbar or Ben Brown or Jacob Webb to come out and close the game, so that way that you won't have to put so much pressure on them to get that save, right? And but yeah, the Cubs, let's keep it going, right? We play tonight at 6:40 against the Phillies. Let's keep it going, right? We're on a 3-game winning streak. Let's not just get lay back and say, oh, we're on a 3-game winning streak, we don't need to keep winning. No, keep going, right? Don't take your foot off the pedal. The good teams, they keep their foot on the pedal and they don't let it off. Right, and so yeah, just keep it going. Win tonight against the Phillies at 6:40, and let's try to sweep another team at home, right? And so yeah, Jaden. So speaking of Lakers, how are they doing?
They won. I mean, Kevin Durant was like a late scratch. I didn't even know he was hurt.
He was hurt?
Yeah. So Kevin Durant didn't play, but I mean the Houston Rockets still have players on their roster that are capable of winning a playoff game. So I mean,
Jalen Green, is he still on there?
No, he went to the Suns.
In the Kevin Durant trade?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, I mean, I was proud of him. Luke Kennard dropped 27 points. I mean, like, you're gonna need other players to step up when Luka and AR aren't playing.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, LeBron's always gonna be LeBron, but who's gonna be next to LeBron? And it's mean DeAndre Ayton needs to step up in these games. And like, game one he did good, but he needs to continue being like their center. Like, he plays soft sometimes. You need to be like the center, DeAndre Ayton. He needs to like dominate the paint. He needs to get blocks. He needs to get down there and post up. Like, sometimes they need to run the plays through him. But like, I mean, they had a really good game one. Like, they dominated them, honestly. Like, from the start of the game to the end. And like, LeBron did really good. Rui did, he's Rui. But I mean, Luke Kennard was the best player on the floor for them, honestly. Like, he was just shooting the ball like there was no, like, did you know he led the league in 3-point percentage?
Luka?
Yeah, Luke Kennard.
Oh, Luke Kennard.
Yeah, Luke Kennard.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
I did not know that. No.
It's just like LeBron needs a consistent player next to him to be able to pull this off. But I mean, it's a good start when you can win game one. But I mean, they're at home right now. So it'll be interesting to see, like, game three, what happens, or even like game two, yeah. if they can play up to that standard. But I mean, it's never bad when you win game one.
No, it's always
a good thing.
But the real question is, how many more games can you win after that? Right? You know, we saw the Cavs in 2018 only win one game, and then they only won one more game after that. You know, can they keep it going? Right? I think did Austin Reeves or no, LeBron,
Luka and AR didn't play.
See, that's the thing is, like, I think I truly do believe this, and I think you would too. If those three guys, LeBron, Austin Reeves, and Luka, would have all stayed healthy and played a full season, they would have probably be the best team in basketball. Do you agree with that?
I think the Thunder are better than them. I think they'd be up there.
They'd be definitely one, like, of the top teams.
Top three.
Yeah.
Because there's the Spurs, Thunder, and then it'd be Lakers if they were all healthy.
Yeah. It's just you add in what Luke Kennard is doing.
Yeah.
You know, I do think that the Thunder will win it. I mean,
even if the Lakers are fully healthy, I just don't think they can take a Thunder team in a 7-game series.
No.
Like, they could take the Spurs maybe in 7 games, but the Thunder, they'll get like 2 games, but I don't even think they can get 3. I don't think they can get 3 games against the Thunder.
Maybe, but man, what happened to the Pistons, bro? How do you lose to the Magic?
They're just like, I told you, they're just going to fold in the playoffs. Like, they're just not experienced.
Because they don't have experience.
Like, Cade Cunningham dropped 40 points.
But he's young. This is his first playoff game.
Who's behind him? Like, obviously, there's Tobias Harris has experience, but, like, he's not your, like, he can talk playoffs, but he can't play playoffs anymore. Like, he's not that guy anymore.
Can you explain, what you mean,
like,
more about
that? He can tell you what it's like to be in the playoffs, but he can't be that guy in the playoffs anymore. Like, he can't score. He can't be your go-to guy in the playoffs.
Which is crazy, because you would think that he could talk like that, but he can't necessarily play.
Or, like, they got Duncan Robinson, but, I mean, like, he was on that one Heat run, but,
yeah,
I mean,
he got carried by Jimmy Butler and
it's just, like,
Bam
they have veteran guys, but the veteran guys haven't played real playoff basketball in their life, in their career. Like, they can tell you what it's like to be in the playoffs, but they haven't been that player in the playoffs.
You got to have both. You got to have a guy like Tobias Harris tell you what it's like, and then a guy that has experience.
Yeah.
And I think Monty Williams had experience, and then they fired him. I've been telling you this on the podcast, Shaden. It wasn't his fault. It wasn't Monty Williams' fault. Monty Williams has been in the finals before. I think he was as a player and as a coach. That's a guy that they should have kept around, because Monty coached in the finals against the Milwaukee Bucks and ended up losing. But yeah, I was really hoping that they were going to win, obviously, because, you know, I mean,
I don't even think the Magic are that good of a team to begin with, honestly.
I mean, besides Paolo, who's their best player?
Like, they were projected to be, like, top four in the East when they got Desmond Bane. But, I mean, they really, like, heavily overpaid for him. And it's just, like, they got Paolo Banchero and Desmond Bane. And then they got, like, Franz Wagner. But, I mean,
he's fine.
Like, if that's your top three players, it's just, like, you're really not going to get anywhere with that.
No. And
unless they
Magic
start, like,
are young too.
More. Yeah.
So pretty much for the Pistons and the Pistons and the Magic, both teams are young, right? Both teams really don't have a whole lot of playoff experience. Who's the Magic coach? Is it still what's his name?
I have no idea.
Well, what's his name? I forget. He was with the Mavericks, I think. He was assistant.
Jamal Mosley.
Yes, he's still the coach. He's been there for probably five or six years now. But yeah, I mean, Pistons, if you lose one more game to the Magic,
and it was
bro,
at home.
Yeah, like, bro, in front of all those fans, this is how you perform. I didn't watch any.
I mean,
game.
Like, I think they're gonna get at least out the first round, but I mean, they just don't have the talent and the playoff experience as the other teams in the East do.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
if
something
they
with
face
Detroit.
Up the Celtics, I don't know. They wouldn't play the Celtics, I don't think. I don't know who they would play, but either team they play, they're just not going to have that experience, and their guys are young. But, like, the Celtics are experienced in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Celtics know what it's like, and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown know what it's like to...
Because they've been to a finals.
To lose and win a finals.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just the fact that, I mean, they've never been... Like, the Spurs did really good. But, I mean, they're not playing a good team. They're playing the Trailblazers. So, I mean,
how do the Trailblazers?
I don't know.
Dame is single. Can we care? Isn't he done for
yeah,
the
year? Yeah, he hasn't played this year.
I mean, who's
but I mean, I don't. Denny Avdija, you know him?
Yeah.
Avdija. But I mean, like, the Spurs are well rounded when it comes, because they, I mean, Harrison Barnes can tell you how it, what it's like. But I mean, when you have Victor Wembanyama, that's just a cheat code, really.
Yeah, and especially when you got have guys like Dylan Harper and
they
Darren
have really
Fox
great guys
and Stephon Castle and Wemby.
The Pistons are really just like they have good role players, and they got Cade Cunningham and good role players.
Yeah.
But I mean,
well, Tobias Harris isn't my role player.
But on top of that, they just really don't have the talent or playoff experience when it comes to the playoffs.
No. And
like, I mean, Asar, but I mean, he's more of a defensive guy.
They really thought that was Monty Williams' fault. I mean, what are we doing? You're talking about somebody that has playoff and, hey, you're talking about somebody that has finals experience. Monty Williams has that. He went to the finals as a player. He went to the finals as a coach. That's the guy that has experience. And guess what, Jaden? They had him, and they let him go because they thought he was the problem. When at the end of the day, he wasn't. It was just your players. Plain and simple. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. The coaches, it's, at the end of the day, is really not. There's only so much that they can do. And at the end of the day, you're really going to put this on the coaches. Yo, coaches aren't the ones that are making baskets. They're not the ones that are fouling. They're not the ones that are running up and down the court. That's just not them, right? And it's just, I'm not a Pistons fan, but like Monty Williams was a tremendous coach. Now you could say, well, he had Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and Jay Crowder, all those guys around him, but like. It's just like, I mean, Monty Williams had that playoff experience. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had this playoff experience, and then they just got rid of him for nothing, right? And J.B. Bickerstaff, he's solid, but he's not Monty Williams. And, you know, I just, you know, one mistake goes wrong, we're going to blame the coach. Like, at the end of the day, are we really going to blame the coach for all this stuff that's going on? Like, I don't like that with teams. If I was a GM, I would keep the coach. If you were losing games, I would look into it, and I would say, okay, why are we losing these games? Is it because we're not making our free throws? Is it because we're not making three-pointers? Is it because we just don't have good enough talent, right? And at the end of the day, that goes back to the GM, though, because they draft those players, and they're the ones that have to perform on the court. And if you can't do that, then it's not the coach's fault. So I'm trying to, like, you know, state that. It's not really Monty Williams' fault. And like you said, playoff experience is crucial in the playoffs. Because if you don't have, like you said, Tobias Harris, he can tell you. But if you can't perform, then that's a whole new story. But if you can perform and talk, that's huge. That's huge for any team, any young player. Kate Cunningham is like 25 and he's still coming into the league. That's huge. You want guys like that. You want guys that are, you know, that have that experience because they've been there before. They know what it's like. Harrison Barnes has been in the finals before, but I mean, do you think he can talk and walk? I mean, hopefully that he can do both.
He can talk, but I mean, like he would have the ability to walk, but I mean, he just has so many great players around him. He doesn't have to do that.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Like he could literally just sit in the corner and wait for the shot to come to him because I mean, he just has so many good players around him.
Yeah.
Like in Tobias Harris's shoes, he has to be a scorer with the Pistons because there's not really that many other players around Cade Cunningham. Like, Tobias Harris has to be, like, their third or fourth best player.
Yeah. No. I mean, he does, right? And
Harrison Barnes can literally, like, I mean, realistically, they had, like, 7 or 8 players averaging double digits. So, I mean, he can have an off night if he wanted to and just sit in the corner if he wants to. Like,
he could. Literally. And who's the Spurs coach now? I know it's not Popovich.
It was the assistant that was. He's up for coach of the year, Mitch Johnson.
Who?
He was the assistant.
But see, that's the thing is, you know, why he's up for coach of the year because there's so many good superstars around him: Wemby, Stephon Castle, De'Aaron Fox, Harrison Barnes. Even though he's not a superstar, Dylan Harper. Spurs have a lot of young pieces. I mean, they really do. Obviously, Wemby, Dylan Harper, Stephon Castle, you know, all those guys, man, you know. I think the Spurs could go to the finals, but the question is, like, you know, how many points does Wemby have to score every game for them to do that, right? And I truly do believe this, Jaden. Let me know your thoughts on this. If Wemby were to sit out, like, a whole entire series, the Spurs could probably still win by, like, 20, 30. Don't you think that? I mean,
like this series?
So, like, let's say any series, Wemby were to sit out, right, and not play the whole games. I truly do believe that.
It depends on who
they're playing. Players that they have, they could still win.
Like the opening series, they could probably still win by 20.
But if they're playing the Thunder, no.
Yeah,
they would need Wemby to play. They just would. That's just, you know.
Like if they played the Blazers or the Magic, I believe they could still win pretty heavily with the roster they have. Like Wemby is just. Like, he's a cheat code, but it's not like they don't always need him to be Wemby.
Yeah. But even if he's not scoring, he can still, you know, block shots and play good defense, right? And man, this rookie of the year race is going to be so cool. This is probably the closest rookie of the year race of all time. You know, I think the three headliners are
VJ, Edgecombe,
Cooper Flagg, and Konkanupel. And,
it's going to be between Khan and Cooper, but I mean, VJ Edgecombe is still a great player as a 100%. Rookie.
I mean, I think the media wants it to be Khan and Cooper just because they were teammates at Duke and, you know, they've been taking over the league and stuff. But I truly do believe this. I think it could be a co-rookie of the year situation. I mean, I think Cooper Flagg.
I think it should be. It's hard to select between.
They'll probably give it to Cooper Flagg, but it should be a co-rookie of the year. Not to take away from what Konkanupel's doing. Great player. VJ Edgecombe's a great player, but I just think that it will be... I think it will be either a co-rookie of the year between Konkanupel and Cooper Flagg, or they'll give it to Cooper Flagg, or they'll give it to Konkanupel. If they give it to either one of those... Like, okay, so if it's a co-rookie of the year race, I wouldn't be shocked. But if they gave it to one or the other, I would be kind of shocked a little bit. But... it'll be interesting to see what happens. At this point, who do you think will win it? I mean, I think
it's going to go to Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
Because he had, like, those 250-point games.
Yeah, but when you're on the map... But Konkanupel necessarily doesn't have to do that because he has LaMelo and...
But, I mean, leading the league in threes is still crazy as a rookie.
Yeah, no, it is. You don't see... moves a lot. I don't even think Klay Thompson even did that when he was a rookie, right? And not to shy away from what Konkanupel is doing. He's doing a great job, but... I think it will go to Cooper Flagg, although I wouldn't be surprised if it was a co-rookie of the year just because of how great these two
rookies
have
been. It's just hard to debate because like they do different things for their team. Like Cooper Flagg has to be their star player, but like Konkanupel has to play behind LaMelo Ball and Miles Bridges. So it's like he's still doing
these
things
behind. And Brandon Miller.
Yeah, he's still doing these things behind the rookies who have already been there.
Yeah, but so Cooper Flagg on a team, he still has Kyrie and Klay, but I mean, those guys are kind of getting toward the end of their career.
Like the Mavericks game plan for Cooper Flagg, like the ball is in his hands most of the time, over 50% of the time. Konkanupel is more of like you get the ball to him. Like, you don't draw up plays necessarily for him. He's just that, like, he shoots threes.
Yeah, no.
Like, he doesn't always have the ball. Like, it's mostly LaMelo Ball or Miles Bridges there.
Yeah, no, especially in, the Hornets announcer is so hilarious, man.
I think he was on like a broadcast for one of the other playoff games.
He should. We need to get him in. You know, here would be my dream announcers to call the playoffs. Mike Breen, obviously one of the goats. I mean, the way that guy calls a game is just is just crazy. Gus Johnson should call basketball. Kevin Harlan and Eric Cohen. So those are my four who I want to call. At the end of the day, those guys are just the best announcers. I want Gus Johnson, Mike Breen, Kevin Harlan, and Eric Collins to call games. Their enthusiasm, their way. Like, I've told people this. Gus Johnson is an announcer that he changed announcing. Just his enthusiasm, his passion, his just love for the game makes it fun. You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me? Hurt my feelings. Like, you don't hear people say that. You don't hear an announcer get into it like that, right? And, Eric Collins is just so hilarious. LaMelo, chicken salad. Oh, man. And then Mike Breen, obviously, bang. You know, and then Kevin Harlan's enthusiasm. I mean, those guys are just insane at what they do, right? And those are my four announcers that I think I've looked up to since I was a kid, you know. Gus Johnson, Mike Breen, Kevin Harlan, and Eric Collins. And, just crazy. And who would you want to call your game, Jaden? Who would you want?
Probably those four.
I mean, I think those four are the best. I think we need to get Gus Johnson doing some more basketball games. We really do. I mean, it's too good to keep off the sidelines. I mean, he really is. He's just too good. His pat, people get mad at him. He makes me not want to watch a game. Bro, Gus Johnson makes me want to watch a game. When I see Fox and I want to tune in to Gus Johnson and Joel Quatt, I want to hear what they have to say, right? When Iowa played Iowa State this year, hearing Gus Johnson was so fun to listen to him because he loves it so much. He enjoys it. He does all that stuff, man. And, man, we need to get whoever NBA who's in charge, Adam Silver, we need to get him calling games, man. His enthusiasm. LaMelo Ball, oh my goodness. You got barbecue back there? You didn't invite me? Remember the Iowa one when Spencer reaches to it to Reganey? Touchdown, mm-hmm. Iowa! Nico Reganey! Sometimes he like loses his sound and it's just so good, man. Man, Gus Johnson, you're a legend, man. And, so yeah, going back to the NBA, tight race, man. And I wouldn't be as surprised if Davis was the co-rookie of the year, and I'd be a little bit more surprised if it went to either Colin Knuppel or Cooper Flagg, but I think we know it's going to go to Cooper Flagg. But
did you see the finalists for everything? Luka didn't make the finalists for MVP.
Bro, I'm out, bro. I'm out, bro.
Jokic, Shea, Wemby.
What are we doing here?
And it's just like they accepted his thing, so it's like...
Didn't they say that he... What was it the other day? They said that like he played 82 games, he meets the criteria, but then you don't put him in for the NBA MVP. What are we doing
like,
here?
What did Wemby do more for his team than Luka?
Exactly. I'm not saying Wemby's not a great player.
Like obviously there's defense involved in everything, and like Wemby's the best defense player in the league. But it's like he can win MVP of defense. But I mean, he's not the MVP of the league.
No.
He's not gonna have a chance against Jokic.
We're not saying Wemby's not a great player. He's a
like
great
he's going to have... So, it's just like he's not an MVP-type player yet. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, he's the best player on his team right now.
Like,
but
when you're 7'4", it's not hard to, you know...
The stats are going to talk, and his stats this year are just not MVP level yet.
Like, he can get defensive player of the year. That's fine.
He'll get up there one day. He'll average more points. The stat sheet will look better later in his career. But right now, Luka deserved the MVP more than Wemby did. Like, Wemby's not going to win the MVP either way, but Luka deserved the attention more than Wemby did because of what he did.
100%. I agree with that. And
like,
just,
when you average the most points in the league, how are you not top three in the MVP conversation?
Yeah. I'm not saying Wemby's not a great player. Wemby is a tremendous player, but he's got a good team around him, right? He really doesn't have to do much. You know, Stephon Castle, De'Aaron Fox.
Like he doesn't always
Dylan
have to
Harper.
Have his best game to win the game.
Yeah. Whereas Luka, with LeBron and Austin Reeves being hurt, he has to carry the load. That's all he's doing. Obviously, you have Luke Kennard the other night, but that's one game that Luke Kennard has done that. Where was just Luke Kennard in the regular season? Right? And I agree. Luka deserves to win MVP this year. Now, am I saying Jokic and Wemby and Shea are bad players? No. Those guys are tremendous players. But what Luka has done this season, having to carry the load for the Lakers with LeBron not playing every game and Austin Reeves not playing every game, he's had to. That's kind of been Luka's whole career, right? You know, he's had to do that. He's kind of had to carry load, and he hasn't won MVP. Like, what else does he have to do to win MVP? Does he have to win a Finals for you? I think the MVP should be after the season. I really do think that. Do you think that too? I mean,
yeah, but I mean, then they could be biased and say, like...
True.
Because, like, it's a regular season award, but, I mean, if you do that after the season, they're going to put... They're probably going to, like, subconsciously put in the playoffs and how they perform.
Yeah, but...
Like, right after Colin Knuppel had, like, those few bad games in the play-in, they'll probably put those in, too, and they'll say, yeah, that's why Cooper Flagg was the rookie of the year.
And Colin Knuppel's a rookie, right? He's not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But what he's done consistently, you know... For somebody to do it one game is something, but for you to do it every single game and be consistent with it, that's something. That's a whole new level, right? And again, not saying that Shea and Wemby and
like now that
Jokic
it's just
are bad
between
player.
Those three players, they keep saying that Shea should win the MVP, but I think it should be Jokic if it's just between those three.
It's going to be Jokic.
Jokic should, like, no doubt win MVP if it's just between those three players.
Yeah. You might as well get, if he's going to be his Jokic. I think the rest of his career is going to be top three in MVP voting until he retires. That's you just will be. And
Shea brings defense, but it's not the same. It's not the same as Wemby. And Shea's guarding like probably the third best player because they got Cason Wallace and they got Alex Caruso
and
like,
Chet. And
like he does not have to guard the best player every single night. So it's like if we're going to make the defense argument, he's just not guarding the best players.
And he also doesn't have to do too much.
Yeah.
Right? Because he has Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren.
Like he knows his role. He needs to score.
Jared McCain.
Like I need to take this ball in and score and get to the free throw line. That's what he does. But I mean Jokic does everything for the team.
Oh, 100%.
Like and he led the league in assists and rebounds.
That goes back to why he's never averaged 30 points per game in his career.
He would just find his teammates.
Yeah.
And he gets his teammates involved. Shea can just take over the game by just scoring. Like, he usually doesn't try to find his teammates first. But when they start doubling him or, like, he needs to pass, then he tries to find his teammates. But he doesn't start by that. Jokic starts by trying to get his teammates involved, and then he takes over the game if he needs to. At the end of the game, he starts chucking up threes, and he makes them because, like, that's just Jokic.
We've seen it with Michael Jordan, trusting Steve Kerr, trusting John Paxson. Remember how last year Jordan said, all right, they're going to double team me. John Paxson's going to be open. And what did he do? He kept finding John Paxson. And guess what? He kept hitting him, right? Because he trusts them. He trusted he's going to make those shots, right? Steve Kerr, he trusted them. Remember in the last dance, he said, all right, they're going to double team me. Steve will be open. And Steve was right there and he nailed the shot, right? That's what the good players do. They trust their teammates when the game is on the line. They know that, hey, I'm going to be double teamed. They're going to double team me. Why not find this guy who's going to be wide open? Right, and LeBron did that too with Ray Allen, you know, finding him and being open and banking that shot. But yeah, the good players do that, and Jokic does that all the time. In the finals, he did that. He trusted Jamal Murray. He trusted Michael Porter Jr. He trusted Aaron Gordon. He trusted Christian Brown, and it was cool to see, right, him doing that and all that stuff. And It's gonna be interesting to see what happens, Jaden. I mean, it really is, and you know, who wins MVP? You know, again, we say this a lot. I do think it'll be Jokic. I wouldn't be surprised if any of these other guys get it. I mean, I really
like. I see the argument for Shea, but I mean,
Jokic can have defensive player of the year. That's fine. I have no problem with that whatsoever. But for him to be like the stuff Luka has to do with LeBron and Austin Reeves being hurt is just like, what else does Luka have to do in his career to win MVP? Does he need to win a finals for you? Does he need to? I just don't get like what else does Luka need to accomplish in his career for him to not win an MVP? I just don't get it. Like, it's just to be honest with you, I think he should have won MVP last year too. Luka should win it this year and this year, last year and this year. Now, I'm not saying Jokic is a bad player. I'm just saying that I think Luka was more deserving of it, right? And, man, it's NBA, man. What are we doing here, man? It's frustrating because, you know, all the good players, you know, they just. But it'll be interesting to see what happens, man. You know, in the playoffs too, and So yeah, man, it's good NBA talk. And next up, it is NFL Draft Week. Are you looking forward to it? I know I am. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
I've been waiting since the Bears lost to the Rams for this week, man. I've been waiting for this week my whole life. I've been waiting for it. I'm ready for it. I cannot wait to see who the Chicago Bears get in the draft. And if we take an offensive lineman polls, I'm gonna turn off my TV, bro, and I'm not gonna watch it again, bro. Like, you gotta take a defensive tackle. You got to. We cannot have Jordan Love sitting back in the pocket for 13 seconds and throwing the ball. We can't. That's unacceptable. We can't be doing that another season. You can't just rely on your corners to bail you out by getting picks. That's what the Bears did last year. No, we need that. That's over, Poles. We're done with that. We need to get guys that can get to the quarterback. We need to get guys that can sack the quarterback. We need guys that can do that. Blue chip players. And if I'm Ryan Poles, I'm trading up to get Reuben Bain, whatever it takes. Because you know why? Reuben Bain is going to make us a better team. He's going to make your defensive line better. He's going to make the Bears better.
They've been saying that the Cardinals are trying to trade back to get a haul.
If I'm the Bears, I'm I'm doing everything I can. Whatever it takes. I don't care if you lose draft picks. You're going to lose draft picks. Get Ruben Bain because he's going to make your team better. He's a guy, Jaden, that's going to get to the quarterback. He's a guy that's going to make your defense better because of how good he is. So let's not mess around, Poles, and draft some offensive lineman who's not going to help our team. Get a defensive tackle that is going to help our team tremendously. Because at the end of the day, we cannot... Remember what Brock Purdy did to our defense? He was torching us up. We cannot have that happen again this season. Mm-mm, that is unacceptable what happened. And do you know why? You know what blamed that on? Ryan Poles? Because he did not address the pass rushing situation last year. He just said, oh, okay, our best defensive tackle is going to be Montez Sweat, who is going to have 5.5 sacks. Like, that's just not... We can't be doing this, right? We need to have guys that are consistently get to the quarterback. And especially because we had a lot of takeaways last year, and we had guys that got the ball and took it away, and Kevin Byard and T.J. Garner-Johnson and Nashawn Wright, who are all gone now. They're missing to see what happens. And I've said this before, Jaden, in every podcast, and I'm going to say it again. Whatever team gets Jacob Rodriguez, hopefully it's the Bears, is going to get a steal. A guy that's just a gritty, hard-nosed, tough football player. A guy that's going to make whatever team he goes to is going to make them a lot better. Right, and you know, people are questioning him. Bro won the Buckus Award, and people are questioning like his arm length. Like, what are we doing here, guys? They're just making up excuses for why they don't want him. They're just finding a weakness for him. Like, bro, like, come on, like, we need to. What are we doing here, Geno Jeremiah? You know, all those people. It's just, it doesn't make any sense to me. But yeah, this first round, man. Besides Mendoza, I don't think I see another quarterback going round one. Maybe Ty Simpson, maybe, but after that, I just don't really see anybody else, another quarterback going round one.
And there's not like a lot of teams that need a quarterback, but also
the Raiders, they need a quarterback.
Also, but they'll have like Mendoza, like
they have Kirk Cousins.
Other than that, like, teams that do need a quarterback.
Well, I guess the Steelers, because they don't know about Aaron Rodgers, but
they're just not really a quarterback that you would want to draft.
Well, Mendoza.
Like, like the Raiders.
Yeah.
But like after that, there's not a quarterback that you would like trust with your franchise to be that next player. Yeah. Like there's not another like Mendoza in the class that you would like trust to put, like you wouldn't call him your franchise guy.
Yeah, for sure. No. And I mean maybe Garrett Nussmeier, maybe Kate Klubnik, maybe Ty Simpson. I've told you this. I think Ty Simpson should have came back to Alabama. I mean, I really do think that. He only has 1 year of a starting experience, and I don't think he's ready for the NFL yet. I really don't think he's ready. What I think he'll do is he'll sit behind somebody, hopefully for a couple years, and then learn behind them, because at the end of the day, he's just not ready, and that's okay. That's why teams draft you, so that way that you can learn behind certain people. The Bears did that with Justin Fields. Mahomes learned behind Alex Smith for a year. Tom Brady learned behind, you know, Drew Bledsoe. The good quarterbacks, they learn behind some of the greats, right? And I'm not saying Ty Simpson is necessarily going to be a great quarterback, but and now you see with the Raiders what they just did when they signed Kirk Cousins to mentor Mendoza and for him to learn behind him. And if Mendoza gets hurt, Kirk Cousins can go in there and start, right? And obviously with Caleb Williams, you have Case Keenum, who has started for a lot of different teams. And after Mendoza, I really don't see a clear-cut number two quarterback. I mean, you could argue it's Ty Simpson. You could say it's Kate Klubnik. You could say it's Garrett Nussmeier. I know for a fact it's not Diego Pavia. I don't even know how that guy's – he should not go drafted. He should go undrafted. Hopefully that he does, because he's not a good quarterback. He's too cocky, but he can't back it up, right? And it made it even more special because Iowa beat his team, and he was playing. So what excuse is he going to have for that, right? And – I think besides Mendoza, that the other quarterbacks will sit and learn behind some other teams that they go to, because I think that at the end of the day, if you can't read an NFL defense, then, you know, you shouldn't be playing in the NFL. If you can't do all this stuff, man, it's going to be a long career for you in the NFL, and you're not going to make it far, right? And, so, yeah, I think that, you know, besides Mendoza, there's really not a clear-cut number two. And I think some of the quarterbacks, obviously, they ran out of eligibility, but Ty Simpson should have came back. He should have did what Dante Moore did and come back to school and get better and then he'd be guaranteed first round pick. This year, he's not a guaranteed first round pick. I don't even think he'll. He might slip to the second round. I think he'll be a second round pick, but I don't think that he's guaranteed first round. I mean, you know, so, you know, whatever team take a chance on him, hopefully that he sits behind a good quarterback and then he learns, because he doesn't know everything. He's still pretty raw. He's only started for really a year at Alabama, and you know, you see the Alabama quarterbacks in the NFL really haven't worked out, right? And obviously Tua, Mac Jones, AJ McCarron wasn't that good. Jalen Hurts, even though he went to Oklahoma, but he's solid. But man, those Alabama quarterbacks in the league. But yeah, man, it's just interesting to see what happens in the draft. I think that there'll be a lot of surprises, and whatever team picks up Wiegen, I think will be very happy, because Wiegen is a explosive football player. He's gonna make your team better, whatever team gets him. And I don't think the Bears will. I think that they have their punt returner and kick returner now with Khalif Raymond that they signed this offseason. And I can't wait to see what happens in the draft, and can't wait to see what happens. It's gonna be a good week. And
did you see that Dexter Lawrence got traded?
Yes, the Bengals need that, man.
Yeah, that's what the Bengals need, and the Giants just got another top 10 pick.
You know what else the Bengals need? Offensive line. Because if they don't, Joe Burrow's career could probably be over after the season. I truly do believe that. If they don't get him the right offensive line this season, I think his career is over. I mean, he's going to have to go up against Trey Hendrickson, Myles Garrett, T.J. Watt six times a year. Six times a year, Jaden. Those guys are in the same division. It's going to be a long year for him if they don't get an offensive line. It will be. And Jamar Chase is going to want to request a trade out of there, because Burrow doesn't have enough time to give him the ball because he's getting sacked all the time. Right? I like the Dexter Lawrence trade. I thought that they solidified their defensive line. I think it makes a lot of sense. I was hoping that it was going to be the Bears, but Poles doesn't have the guts to do that, and which is why he should have been fired. But that's a discussion for another day. But you see a lot of teams in the NFL be aggressive, and Poles really has not done that. And but yeah, I love the trade. I think that it makes the Bengals a much better defense from what they were last year. I mean, remember when the Bears had to score 42 points just to beat the Bengals last year? Like, the Bears, we can't be doing this year, Bears. We can't, Poles, Warren, George, we can't be scoring 42 points for us to be able to win a game. Like, we can't be doing that, right? And but yeah, I love the trade. What did the Giants get for him?
I think it was really just the 10th round pick. I mean, the 10th pick in the draft.
That's good. Bengals? No, Giants got that.
Yeah.
Man, they
have the 5th and then they have the 10th.
They could get Jordan Tyson to pair with Malik Nabers, but and Jackson Dart too, but yeah, man, it's crazy, you know. NFL draft is here. We'll be here before we know it, and I'm looking forward to it, and there'll be definitely a lot of surprises in the first round. Some guy will fall that shouldn't fall. Like, obviously Jeremiah Love's not going to fall. Reuben Bain could fall because of his arm measurements. I think he'd be the most likely one to fall. I think Kaden Proctor could fall. Like I said this before, I don't think he'll be a good NFL player. I really don't. I think he's lazy. I think he's all this stuff. But if the Bears take him, I'm going to be so mad, bro. Like, I'm not just saying this because I don't like him, because he went to Alabama and was a traitor, but I just don't think he'll be good. I mean, he's just lazy, and he just doesn't really, you know. I think he, you know why he's in the NFL draft? Because he's at Alabama, and Alabama's a premier powerhouse of a football team, and he's really big. So can't wait to see what happens to the Bears, and you know, certainly there'll be definitely a lot of surprises in this year's NFL draft, like there is every year. Some player will fall. It happens every year. Some player will just fall. And there'll be some surprises that nobody thought he'd be a first-round pick, and he is. So, it'll be cool to see what happens. And I'm looking forward to it. And yeah, man. This transfer portal stuff is getting out of hand, man. I mean, what are we doing here? Oh, speaking of that, Audie Crooks went to Oklahoma State.
He must have got a bag of money.
There's just no
Oklahoma State, like, that's just not somewhere you're going to be successful.
And that was a downgrade from Iowa State. Yeah. There's just no way that she went there, not for the money, bro. Like, she had to have gone there for the money. Like, there's just no – you can't tell me right now that Ida Crooks is sitting there saying, I want to go to Oklahoma State. Like, you're not even going to make the tournament if you go to Oklahoma State. Ida Crooks may single-handedly carry that team, but, I mean
– it might look good on her stat sheet, and, like, she'll probably – she might get, like, drafted higher because she's going to have really good stats, but, I mean, you didn't do anything.
No.
Like, you're not going to have a chance to win anything.
When you weigh so much, it's kind of hard to play defense, and it's kind of hard to move around the court, right? And, but, yeah, man, it's Oklahoma State is a downgrade from Iowa State. And she thinks that she's going to
I thought she would at least go to, like, a decent program.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think she would go to Iowa. Obviously, no. I don't think that she would have gone there.
Like, I was thinking, like, Notre Dame.
Or, yeah. You know, somewhere like that. With Olivia Miles. No, isn't she on TCU?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought
she got drafted.
No, that was Hannah Hidalgo that I was thinking of. Never mind. But,
like, it would have been Hannah Hidalgo, Jenica Lewis, and Audie Crooks.
Yeah. Like, that would have been crazy. Two former Iowa people on Notre Dame. Man, that was... That would have been crazy, but yeah, man, it's I mean, there's no way that Audie Crooks is sitting there saying, yo, I want to make Oklahoma State a better program. Like, first of all, they don't have – I don't like Iowa State, but Iowa State was a better program last year than Oklahoma State. That they just were, right? Like, Audie Crooks had better pieces around her.
Oklahoma State is never going to get the talent in to be able to go to the tournament.
No. And Audie Crooks had more talent around her at Iowa State than she will at Oklahoma State because Iowa State has a more established coach. They have a more established program. Yeah, interesting move by Audie Crooks. I definitely thought she would have gone to, like, Notre Dame or somewhere better than Oklahoma State. I mean,
maybe they just didn't want her. Maybe that was her only choice.
Yeah, but there's no way that she didn't go anywhere for money. I mean, there's just – she had to have gotten a check from somebody. I mean, there's just you can't sit there and tell me that she didn't go there just for money or that she didn't go there because of money. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't tell me that Oklahoma State didn't give her a blank check. Like, I bet you somebody paid her. They paid her a lot of money to go there. And man, we told Kyle this before we came on here, man. When she goes into Hilton next year, they're gonna be booing the crap out of her, man. They're going to be booing her every single time she touches, probably even when she doesn't even have the ball. They're going to boo her like crazy. I mean, do you really want that? Do you really want all those Iowa State fans booing you and hating you on social media and stuff? Like, do you want that? Like, I want it if I was her. Like, it's just, maybe she did that because she knows that she wants to beat Iowa State in Hilton. Maybe she did. I don't know. Maybe she did. But, yeah, man, it was a very interesting move by Audie Crooks. Like we said, we thought she would have gone somewhere better, but yeah, it was interesting that she went to Oklahoma State. But I definitely think it's a downgrade from Iowa State, obviously. But yeah, very interesting move, and we'll see how it turns out for Audie Crooks. And so, speaking of the NFL, real quick, Brandon Aubrey just signed an extension. You know, pull up the details here. I think it was 4 years. Like, I don't even know how much he got paid.
A lot. But, I mean, when you're the best kicker.
Oh, 100%. When you're the best kicker in the NFL, I mean, you know.
4 year, $28 million.
That's a lot of money, man. That is a lot of money.
But then Jerry never wants to pay his real players. Like, he didn't want to pay Michael Parsons, so he traded him. It's like.
Yeah.
But then he paid Dak Prescott $60 million.
Yeah, when they should have paid Micah instead of him.
I don't know. It's just like he needs to make up his mind. He needs to just retire.
Yeah, bro.
He needs to call it quits.
I've told people this, and we have some Cowboys fans that are actually here. You remember that guy's name that we were talking to when we went outside? I forget his name, but he's a Cowboys fan. If you listen to this. The Cowboys will never win big with Jerry Jones as their GM. Obviously, they won big with Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin and Dion and Emmitt Smith in the 90s, but that was the 90s. The NFL has changed a lot since the 90s. It's changed tremendously. This new kickoff rule stuff, which I hate, the field goal stuff, the touchback, it's a different game, right? And, you know, I just, it's crazy. And he's getting paid that much money. It's interesting to see if he performs up to that contract, right? If he does Does he can come on, bro.
Does he want to? Wanna
hop on?
Yo.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Hooping. Sorry, guys.
Sorry, guys. We're just talking to Daniel, our good friend here at the pod. And, yeah, so I think that he he's I think Brandon Aubrey getting an extension, it'll be interesting to see how he lives up to it, if he performs well next year. But, yeah, man, I mean, crazy. Who would have thought, man, that Brandon Aubrey would have got extended? And didn't he hit, like, a 66-yard field goal, I think, last year? He might have.
Him? I think he hit a long one, but then Cam Little hit like a 68, I think.
And then he'll come back and miss like a 32-yarder, which makes no sense to me. But yeah, man, I good move by the Cowboys. I mean, best kicker in the league, and you know, hopefully that he lives up to that contract, because you know, you see a lot of those guys in the NFL that get paid a crap ton of money, get paid. You know, they get a second contract and then they don't end up living up. They don't end up living up to it, and they don't perform well the next season. And
Isn't his name Eduardo?
Yeah. I think that's his name.
That's what you were talking about, the guy out there.
Yeah.
Shout out Eduardo.
Yeah, shout out him, man. We had him on the podcast, actually. You guys should go back and listen to that. Great dude. Great friend of the podcast. Great friend of me and Jaden's. Yeah, she went to East High School, Jaden. I know you went to Hoover, so. There's no bad blood. It's just wanted to throw it out there that he went to East and Jaden went to Hoover. So, yeah, man. Speaking of Hoover, they beat Waukee 1-0 in soccer. Go Hoover Huskies, baby. Let's go. 1-0, baby. How do you feel about that, Jaden? You beat Waukee.
Shout out Hoover.
Shout out Hoover. Them boys, man. Go Huskies. I will cheer for Huskies, except for when they're not playing against Northwest. I will cheer for them. So, good job, Hoover, getting the 1-0 victory against the Waukee Warriors. Great job, Hoover. I'm proud of you guys. But yeah, man, it'd be interesting to see how Brandon Aubrey lives up to this contract, right? And like I said, I love the move. I think it's great for both sides. And so yeah, that's
OBJ just worked out with the Giants.
I saw that. I mean, do you really want to sign how old is he, like 36? You really want to sign that? Older.
No, he was doing good in flag football.
I mean, that's let's not get ahead of ourselves. That's flag football. That is completely different from the NFL, right? And I mean, I could see him ending his career there. I mean, I really could. I mean, hopefully that.
I mean, on it, like right now, he'd probably be the second best receiver on the team.
Oh,
like
maybe.
I don't even, because they traded Wan'Dale Robinson, so it's
did
like
they really who they trade him to?
The Titans? No, I don't even think. I think he just like. Was a free agent, and then he signed
with them. Because that makes sense, because of Dable
being
okay. Yeah, but yeah, man. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens with
I don't even, they have like Isaiah Likely, but he's a tight end. They got like Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, former Bear.
Darius Slayton.
He's solid.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with that, but yeah, man, I mean, I think it's, you know, obviously hopefully that the Giants sign him. I don't think they will, because of Harbaugh wanting to sign his guys, but I could see that happening. I mean, I very well could, and you know, Odell's not the receiver that he once was, but you know, his last year with the Giants, going off on a send-off, ending with the Giants, the team he started his career with, I mean, I could see it for sure. And so yeah, man. It's hopefully that if you're a Giants fan listening to this, hopefully that you you guys sign Odell Beckham Jr. to be the number two receiver. And you know, I like what the Giants are doing this year. It's amazing what they're doing. And so yeah, man. That's all I got for us. I don't know if you have anything else you want to talk about, but that's all I got for us today. Been here a long time today, man. Can't wait to just go home and just chillax and get some homework done. And but yeah, my Cubs tonight at 6:20 against the Phillies. Let's keep it going, man. Let's keep these wins coming in. I don't know who's pitching tonight. I'll recap it on Wednesday. But yeah, just keep it going. Keep getting those wins. And I will Iowa fans should be very happy about who they landed in the portal because, again, these guys are going to make their team better, right? Andrew McKeever, Tyree Coleman is going to make their team so much better, and I'm happy with their commitments that they added. Kansas just got a transfer this morning who's going to make their team better, and hopefully they land Tyron. And, yeah, Jaden, I got to be back with you today, and, yeah, we'll recap the Cubs win in the NBA. Hopefully that your Lakers do well. Hopefully.
I'm pretty sure they have the Thunder next series. Ooh. I mean, it doesn't. Yeah,
they got to win this series first.
Yeah,
we can't be looking ahead when you haven't even beat the team that you're previously with now, right? And so yeah, Jaden, I wish nothing but the best for your Lakers, and hopefully that they Luka does well. And but yeah, man, that's all I got for us today. And got to promote the socials.
Check us out on CambridgeChronicleNews.com. A lot of great content coming out. Instagram, TikTok, and X at DMAP Chronicle. And if you want to join us next podcast,
come on in, man.
5, room 136.
We just had Daniel come and check us out, even though he said he was going to go play basketball. Daniel came and checked us out.
You think he'd be hooping?
Yeah, I think Daniel is 6'4 guy. I mean, I think Daniel, shout out Daniel. I think hopefully he's a hooper. And, but yeah, shout out Daniel. And right when you come into Building 5, there's a room that says Cambridge Chronicle. That's us. Come on in. If you want to listen to us talk, you can do that. If you want to come in and share your experiences with us, that's probably fine too. And me and Jaden would love to talk to you. And so just have a let's have a good week, and we'll be back on Wednesday. Till next time,
see you guys. Peace.